JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hello, Flicey. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Now, Flicey, you're a whore, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that maybe I'd like to patronize some of the whores who work on your corner.
Well, I gotta warn you. Nowadays, whores have very peculiar names.
Funny names?
Nicknames. Example, on the corner I work, who does oral, what uses her hand, and I don't know, takes it McKeister.
That's what I want to find out.
I told you, who does oral, what uses her hand, and I don't know, takes it McKeister.
Do you know the whore's name?
Hell yeah.
Well, then who does oral?
That's right.
The whore that does oral.
Who?
I'm asking you.
And I'm telling you.
Look, what's the name of the whore that does oral?
No, what uses her hand?
I'm not asking you who uses her hand.
Who does oral?
I don't know.
She takes it in the keister.
Look, after I get oral, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
Who does?
That's right, and why not? The bitch deserves it.
Who deserves it?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So naturally does oral.
No, who does oral?
Naturally.
You got it.
So, naturally does oral.
No.
Look, what's the name of the whore that does oral?
No, what uses her hand?
I don't know.
She takes it in the keister.
Again, I'm back to the keister. Look, do you have a pimp?
Of course. A fine bunch of whores this would be without a pimp.
The pimp's name?
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
And I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me, who's the pimp?
No, who does oral?
I don't know.
She takes it in the keister.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, April 26th, 2023. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. Well, a couple of weeks ago, this guy Roy Wood Jr., who I've been raving about for a long time. If you watch The Daily Show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This guy is so funny. Jesus, he's funny. He can take almost any writing that they give him and turn it into something much funnier, just with all of his mannerisms and just the way he delivers jokes. He's a very, very funny guy. And I don't know. I think Desi Blydick, by the way, who I've always loved, is doing a real good job this week. You're going to hear from her in just a couple of seconds here. But this Roy Wood Jr. thing. So I'm like, if they're looking for the... Because The Daily Show blew it when Jon Stewart left, and you had Samantha Bee right there, and she was the obvious choice. They overthought it. They went with Trevor Noah. Okay, they got some mileage out of it. I never really connected with the guy. Samantha Bee got pissed off. She went over to whatever she went to, TBS or something like that. And, she should have gotten that job. So this time, I'm hoping they don't overthink it, because Roy Wood Jr. came out, and by Wednesday, they were chanting his name for like an extra 30 seconds. And if you're the people who are running Comedy Central, you got to be noticing something like that. But then Desi Blydick comes out, and she's fantastic, too. She was so good. But back to Roy Wood Jr., I just noticed that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is this weekend. And if you know anything about that, you know that they always choose a famous and very hot comedian. You know, somebody who's really, really hot at the time. And it can be a tough room, a bunch of stuffy journalists, many of whom take themselves way entirely too seriously, all in dresses that are killing them because they're too tight and tuxedos that fit 5 years ago that don't really fit that well anymore because everybody gained so much goddamn weight during the pandemic. And they're all sitting there and it's like, huh, yeah, you're so funny. Go ahead, make me laugh. That's sort of kind of what the room is like. But the comedians really lay it out there. I mean, the comedians they bring in really, really lambaste these people. And it's usually pretty funny. Usually on the news the next morning, on Sunday morning, you know, Willie Geist sitting there on Sunday Today going, oh boy, wait to hear what they said about Joe Biden last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So in any event, it's Roy Wood Jr. who's doing it this week or this year and Saturday night. And I can't even wait. I'm so excited. Now, that having been said, as much of an advocate as I am for Roy Wood Jr. to get the job on The Daily Show, Desi Leidig, she's been great this week. She's really, I've always liked her. There's just something about her that I like. And so last night she's making the case for why Donald Trump would not make a good candidate this time around.
Not to mention this guy's in court every other week. Hush money, tax money. He has a new trial starting in New York today and you barely even knew about it. Trump is in so many different types of legal trouble, he could be in every spinoff of Law and Order. Crazy. The guy's going for a crime EGOT. So those are America's choices. A guy who's in his 80th year of life and a guy who's facing 80 years to life. It sucks, but unfortunately, America only has two people. Although there is one other person who suddenly has a lot of time on his hands. Tucker Carlson. Yeah. Yesterday, Carlson got fired from his job at Fox News, and it was a huge surprise to everyone, including Tucker. Apparently, they only told him 10 minutes before announcing it publicly, which is so cold. I mean, that's barely enough time to pack up all his Nazi memorabilia. Not to mention, he was Fox's most popular anchor, and they still fired him. That'd be like if MSNBC fired, imagine if there was a show people watched on MSNBC. It would be like firing them. And look, I know people love making fun of Tucker, but just put yourself in his shoes. Say you're this massive piece of shit with no real friends, and you got a giggle like a Tickle Me Elmo and a dumb floppy haircut, and you always have your mouth hanging open like you're drying your teeth. I forgot where I was going with this. Tucker's an asshole. Now, we still don't know exactly what got Tucker fired. Maybe it was election lies that cost Fox News $787 million. Maybe it was insulting his bosses in private texts. Maybe it was his overall vibe of creepy dad driving the babysitter home. Or maybe it was this.
The Daily Beast reports that Tucker's repeated use of the C word was a key factor in his demise. According to text messages from the Dominion lawsuit, Tucker referred to Trump lawyer Sidney Powell as the C word, and a former producer at his show alleges she heard the word around the office constantly.
Female politicians who came on the show were mocked. There were debates about who they'd rather sleep with. C word all the time.
They use the C word all the time? Like, how do you use the C word at the office all the time? Oh, Susan's taking lunch orders? Tell that cunt I'll just have a cunt salad. Hold the cunt. You know what? Do you want to share a cunt? For the audience at home, I know that just got bleeped. I just said the word cunt.
And again, as all this stuff comes out, you find out that the on-screen persona of these people that millions and millions of people watch every single night, their on-screen persona, completely different from the way they really are. And yet it doesn't bother anybody. 20 years ago, if this had come out, all the Fox viewers would go, oh, well, we've been duped. We've been lied to. The whole thing was a big show. It was a big act. They've been lying to us. We have proof of it. Huh. I guess we'll stop watching Fox News. But that doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen. Hey, everybody, you've been lied to. We made it all up. We have nothing but contempt for you, the audience. This whole thing has been a lie. There's almost no truth to any of it. As a matter of fact, while Sean Hannity has been on every night telling you what a wonderful human being Donald Trump is, he despises him. Tucker Carlson, who is our number one guy on Fox News, has been telling you what a wonderful guy Donald Trump is. He despises him. 20, 30 years ago, that would have been it. It's like, oh, okay, well, last person at Fox News, turn off the lights on your way out, lock the door. But that is not happening. People don't care. And as somebody on Facebook said the other day, when you have pledged your allegiance to something, and then you find out that the entire thing has been a lie, but you still patronize them? Well, you're in a cult. So if you're a guy and you're dating a woman and you find out that she's been sleeping with the entire Parkway North football team, I don't know why I dragged the poor Vikings into all of this, but my point is this. If you're thinking to yourself, man, this is great. Oh, I'm so glad I belong to this organization, or I'm so glad that I joined this club, or I'm so glad that I married this human being, or I took this job or whatever, and then you find out, oh yeah, she's stealing your money, or this company is paying you half of what they're paying everybody else, or just, you know what I'm talking about here? I'm running out of words. Do you remember when Jon Stewart quit The Daily Show? And everybody was puzzled because they're like, but the presidential election is coming up. I mean, this is right in your wheelhouse. This is what you do. This is going to be one of the most memorable presidential elections in the history of the country. What a strange time to step away. And his answer basically was, no, you don't seem to understand. That's exactly why I am stepping away right now. That's why the timing is right, because the whole thing is just too depressing to think about. I can't make any sense out of it anymore. It's time to try to have my voice heard in some sort of different arena. Maybe I can be more effective doing things a different way, doing something else a different way. All I know is the very reasons you're giving me for why I should stay on are the very reasons why I'm leaving right now. And that's how I'm starting to feel. It's like you walk outside in the morning, walk down to the end of the driveway to get the newspaper, and you look up and somebody in an airplane has skywritten the words, "What's the point?" That's how I'm starting to feel right now. But anyhow, Roy Wood Jr. in the White House Correspondents' Dinner Saturday. I can't wait. And Desi Leidick, she's really, really good. Really, really happy for her. Now, on to the great state of Missouri, where Jay Ashcroft, the Attorney General, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. John Ashcroft, who in 1988 delighted audiences from coast to coast and all across Canada with the singing of the national anthem before the National Hockey League All-Star Game in 1988. One of the singing senators, you know.
At the Eagle soar like she's never soared before, from Rocky Coast to Golden Shore.
Maybe he was better than Colleen Schaindienst. There's a reference that should make a very, very small sliver of our audience laugh way out loud. So anyhow, state of Missouri, you know, passing these laws. Mike Parson don't want any queers in Missouri. I don't want goddamn queers. LGBTQ community basically saying, what are you picking on us for? Republicans are supposed to be the ones, you know, as little government as possible. So how, with that idea in mind, do you reconcile the fact that you just can't seem to get the idea that there are LGBTQ community people all over the state of Missouri, and you can't just pick on them. People get pissed off. So yesterday on CNN, Bianca Galadriga brings in the old Jaybird.
In our national lead in Missouri, advocates are suing to block an emergency rule that restricts transgender medical treatment, such as hormone therapy and gender reassignment surgery for both children and adults. Now, the rule imposed by the state's Republican Attorney General is expected to go into effect on Thursday. Some of the restrictions include prohibiting doctors from providing care to any patient that has not had 15 hourly therapy sessions over an 18-month period or been treated at least 3 years for gender dysphoria, which is the emotional harm caused by identifying as a different gender than the sex someone is born with.
So there's the setup. And then, you know, Ashcroft, he's trying to position this as, well, we're trying to protect children. We're trying to protect children. Because if you take a 10-year-old boy, he cut his dick off because he thinks he's a woman. And then when he turns 12, he's like, hey, wait a minute, what happened? I ain't got no dick anymore. And now it's too late to turn things around. And I mean, it's a well taken point, I suppose. But there are better ways to do it rather than just try to pass through some sort of blanket legislation that directly adversely affects almost everybody in the LGBTQ community. And so Bianca wouldn't let him off the hook.
What happens if this happens to have saved a child's life that had been going through emotional trauma as a teen?
It doesn't save a child's life. It doesn't. When we see the tremendously horrific suicide rates among transgender kids, we see that before they go through surgical or chemical operations. We see that afterwards. One of the many problems with this is that this doesn't truly solve their distress. This doesn't truly solve their problem. And what I'm saying is they don't need people that are just trying to take money from them with a medical operation. They need people that love them and are willing to meet them where they are and help them to understand reality. We do not help people by convincing them that reality is not reality. Where does it stop?
Do you have empirical evidence or data that shows that they aren't helped?
They don't become the other. You can't change a man to a woman or a woman to a man through this operation. Clearly it doesn't. And where does it stop? Are we going to, in 2 or 3 years, when a 5-year-old child says, I'm a bird, I can fly, and they want to run off the roof, we just say, you're right, I'm affirming you. You're a bird, you can fly. No.
See, there's two ways of knowing when you're losing an argument, especially if you're supposed to be a dignified public servant from the great state of Missouri. You're on national TV, and you're being questioned, and you're like, but don't you understand? You can't do it. I mean, if you're having to present your case in that sort of falsetto, desperate sounding delivery, I told you, I take the orders from the customers and I take them to the software engineers. Don't you understand what I do here at an attack? Well, that's not a good sign. The second sign is what politicians do all the time, especially the ones on the right. I remember back in the either late 90s or early 2000s when the whole cloning thing was hot discussion because they figured out how to clone stuff. And then they're like, you know, everybody's running around going, well, we got to pass legislation so they don't start cloning people. And then they had one of the most obnoxious politicians I think I've ever witnessed, and that is Jim Talent. And he's on television being interviewed on the news. He goes, oh, look, you know, the last thing I want to do is be walking down the street. Well, you listen. This is what he said.
Well, I certainly agree about the inadvisability of human cloning. I mean, apart from everything else, you know, I don't want to live in a world where I'm walking down the sidewalk on one side and seeing myself come in the other direction.
Ah, Jimmy, you're a stitch. So what you do is you take an argument and you just push it to some sort of nth degree that is so ridiculous that nobody could take your argument seriously anymore. But when you're desperate, you do desperate things. And so now this asshole is talking about some kid who shows up in school one day and says, I'm a bird. So, of course, you know, my first question would have been, or should have been for Bianca Galadriga, is, do you know of a case where a child showed up and said, I'm a bird, and then went running off the top of the building because it thought it could fly? Oh, you didn't. So your very fertile imagination just sort of made that up in a desperate attempt to win an argument. But we're at a point now in this political culture where people hear what they want to hear. Because you know damn well when he was saying that, there were people watching and just nodding at the TV screen. Like, you tell him, Jay. That's right. What do we want? Kids showing up as birds in school? That's right. You tell that chick on CNN. Yeah, like I said, one problem. Has it ever happened? No. Two more quick political notes. This Fox intern seems like she means business. Now she says she's got 90 tapes of conversations going on. And apparently there's one where Ted Cruz and Maria Bartiromo are talking about ways to overturn an election well before the election took place. And then some other stuff with Giuliani. So if she's got recordings, it's just, I mean, you think Casey is falling apart with all their new talent, Fox News. I mean, the other shoe hasn't even fallen yet. And then you got this E. Jean Carroll rape case against Trump. Now, this happened back in the middle 90s in a dressing room. She says there were witnesses, and two other victims apparently are going to testify and say that he did the same thing to her. And then they plan to use the Access Hollywood tape where Billy Bush and he are just yucking it up about how you can grab women by the pussy and you can do whatever you want to them when you're famous, and they're going to use that too. My prediction is Donald Trump will be really dirtied up even more, if that's even possible, but I don't see any way that they can successfully sue him on this. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see it. Why are we giving Andy Cohn a star on the St. Louis Walk of Fame? I know he's famous and everything, but what is he famous for? I think Andy is probably a decent guy, but let's look at what he's responsible for. All that Real Housewives bullshit, dumbing down the country even further. All this cheap, trashy, basic cable bullshit. I guess all you have to do is be famous, even if you're famous for the wrong reasons. And again, we have a situation where Andy Cohn gets a star on the St. Louis Walk of Fame in U City, and Dan Kelly, the original play-by-play guy for the St. Louis Blues and who worked CBC across Canada and on the network on CBS on Sunday afternoons back in the 60s, and the fact that he has a bunch of kids who are in broadcasting and media and public relations, and no star for Dan Kelly. And if you're a regular listener, you know I brought this up before many times, that when I have approached people, well, when Steve Savard was still here, Frank Cusimano, I can remember having this discussion with, I tell them, and they look at me like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm really damn sure. Like, Dan Kelly doesn't have a star. I'm like, yes, that's correct. And for a long time, I thought, well, let's get a petition going. And then I talked to Joe Edwards, because there are a lot of people think this is Joe Edwards' fault. And Joe makes a very compelling case for the idea that it is not his fault. And I believe him, because even though this is his deal over there, and I'm sure there's probably some sort of level of executive privilege or something when it's your deal, but he's got an advisory board and people vote. And if he only gets one vote. So if you're upset about stuff like this, and I think you should be, I know I am, don't blame it on Joe, because he says it's not his fault. And like I said, I believe him, except for the fact that you probably do have the power to replace the executive board and get some people who don't have their heads up their asses and understand that this is an embarrassing, egregious omission to year after year have this voting process, and year after year, they just basically say, no, not Dan Kelly. What a bunch of bullshit. Speaking of sports, if Ollie Marmol doesn't watch it, he's going to lose his ass too. The Cardinals look awful. Oh yeah, stage a good comeback every once in a while, but on balance, well, I think this is the team's worst start since 1973. And again, it's not any time to panic. We're only a couple of weeks into the season, so it's not desperation, but at some point you got to do something different, because what we're doing right now ain't working. In case you got hit with a $25,000 fine back on this date in 1991 for that fake nuclear alert thing, which was a big nothing. Got one off the bucket list on this date in 2014 when we visited the Alamo, which, by the way, is a hell of a lot smaller than I ever would have thought. They say, remember the Alamo. There's not much to remember. but you get a nice picture in front of the place. I got a chance to work with Henny Youngman back on this date in 1985. We did a thing called the Rock Expo at the America Center, Convention Center downtown. And it was something that the station put together where you show up and there's just all these different businesses, like a big carnival or something. And they brought in Henny Youngman, not fully understanding that the relatively young Casey crowd at that time, because there were a lot of like 17 and 18 year old people at this thing, all wearing suspiciously awful eye makeup and, you know, long stringy hair and the t-shirt and the jeans and just look like, you know, somebody waiting at a bus station. That crowd, I'm not really even sure, knew who Henny Youngman was. So they had a stage set up and they're like, okay, at like 2 o'clock, Henny Youngman's going to perform and everybody's going to get real quiet in the rest of the expo there and we'll watch Henny Youngman. And so people gathered in front of the stage and he came out and he told these jokes to dead silence. These kids were just staring at the stage like, huh? Henny Youngman, who would normally do probably about a 40, 45 minute set, left after I think it was 12 minutes. He told 12 minutes of jokes and just said, fuck this. And he walked off the stage. I don't know if they paid him, but boy, was he pissed. And then, of course, it's like, hey, great job, Henny. Come on over here. We would like to interview you on the radio. And so they sit him down next to me. And now he's sitting there just got like lava coming out of his ears. It was not a memorable interview. Let's just leave it at that. On this date back in 1984, what is normal for attempting to get a job, especially when people don't know who you are, I was sitting in Buffalo, New York, and I sent all of my stuff to the program director at Casey trying to get the job, the opening for the morning show. And when they call you back and then say, can we have another tape and do you have anything else to send us, like video or anything like that? And I was like, yeah, I sure do. Because you don't shoot your wad the first time. You hold something back so that if they find you interesting, you can hit them with another, you know, 1-2 punch. And so I did, and I sent video of these Three Stooges film festivals that we did a little UHF station in Buffalo, New York. And so I sent those, and it was like a week or two later is when they called me and they said, come on in, we want to interview. And that's when I got hired to come to St. Louis. But it all started for that second tape on this date back in 1984. And it was on this date 11 years ago that I had gotten a call from an old friend who was running WGN Radio in Chicago. And he said, look, we think that you're really good and we know about you. And so we would like to know if you would be interested in doing some weekend work here at WGN in Chicago. And I said, well, I'm currently working at this radio station here in St. Louis, KTRS. I'll have to ask them. I asked them. They said, yeah, sure, go ahead. No problem. So I go ahead and I do it. And it was, in fact, 11 years ago today when I got back to St. Louis and the management of KTRS called me up and said, we're going to go in a different direction. Like, sure, it's fine. Go work a weekend gig in Chicago. And by the way, you're fired. I think we all know now that I was better off. Late Night Tonight, Michael Strahan shows up on Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Pierce Brosnan, Mila Kunis, and Aaron Paul on with James Corden, and Kerry Russell will appear on Seth Meyers. Melissa McCarthy is on the cover of People Magazine's Beautiful issue. Harrison Ford will be de-aged for a 25-minute scene in Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny coming out soon. Birthdays today, Jemima Kirk from Girls, 38. Channing Tatum, Magic Mike, is 43. Jordana Brewster from the Fast and Furious movies. I interviewed her when she was like 19 years old, 43 today. Melania Trump, 53. Kevin James, 58. Carol Burnett, the comedy legend, is 90. In fact, tonight, there's a two-hour special, Carol Burnett, 90 Years of Laughter and Love. That is on at 7 o'clock on NBC. Studio 54 opens its nutty, sleazy little doors on this date, 1977. Arnold Schwarzenegger married Maria Shriver on this date in 86. I think they're still married today, aren't they? The worst nuclear reactor disaster of the 20th century occurred at Chernobyl on this date in 1986. 5150, the first Van Halen album to feature Sammy Hagar, 37 years ago to 1986. And The Handmaid's Tale premiered on Hulu on this date back in 2017. New research suggests French fries might be linked to depression. And I think that's true because right now I'm really sort of sad I don't have any French fries in front of me. And a Michigan man was indicted for making threats against Governor Whitmer, President Biden, and the LGBTQ community. In other words, Fox News can call off its search for Tucker Carlson's replacement. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, April 26, 2023, is in the can. We're here, at least for now, at 11 o'clock every day. Spread the word and spread my email address if you want. JC at JCOnTheLine.com. In case people got questions on Facebook, we can be found at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Other than that, you know, word of mouth, pretty good thing to have. So continue to do that. We do appreciate it. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
You're a bird. You can fly. No.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.